Sinn Féin have been in touch with us to say they have no corporate donors. Let's move on. Community halls next. Sammy Wilson, the initial budget with Paul Given was £500,000 for community halls. That's gone up to £1.9 million of a spend on community halls. Where did he get the extra £1.4 million from?
Well, I assume that there must have been money in the department which was unspent and which he then allocated to it because of the big demand that there was for the community hall scheme.
Unspent money?
Well,
There's loads of money flowing around, was there?
Well, in every department, and you know this because there's monitoring rounds which occur three times a year within government, there will always be money which departments had planned to spend and one thing wasn't spent and they've got limited ability to move it around. And on some occasions, of course, they have to surrender it to the middle and then it gets allocated in accordance with how the...
And they didn't surrender to the middle. They decided to quadruple from £500,000 to £1.9 million for community halls. Why can't the public know? Here's the central question. Why is Paul Given not releasing the names of who received that public money so that we can see the split, cross-community split, see how many people from one community got the money compared to the other? Why are we not allowed to see that?
Steve, you know something? You really do have a brass neck. This is Sinn Féin propaganda. Sinn Féin make these allegations and BBC simply report them. I can remember many occasions, and I want to get round to the issue. I can remember many occasions when, for example, the minister before Paul Given gave £500,000 to the West Belfast Festival and wouldn't make it available to any other festivals. BBC didn't want to know. When she gave five times more to GAA than she did to football in grants, and BBC didn't want to know. When John O'Dowd was giving money to Irish medium schools with 6 and 14 people in them while closing down state schools, and there wasn't a cheep from BBC. And then when Sinn Féin make an allegation that somehow or other, although he had no part in making the decisions, Paul Given is guilty of discriminatory expenditure, BBC want to publish it all around the place. Now, I wouldn't mind if you treated all of the allegations that parties make about each other in the same way, but it just seems to be that you are a platform for Sinn Féin propaganda. But let me give you
it's another allegation of bias from you. So let me just repeat. Let me reject that allegation once again.
Let me reject that allegation once again.
In fact, I would suggest to you that that is a defamatory allegation. But let me put the question to you again so that we don't get distracted. Why would you not release the recipients of that money? Why would your party be against that, Sammy? So that we can see where £1.9 million of taxpayers' money went with these community halls. Why would you not release that?
Well, first of all, I think the minister has indicated that he will release the names of the groups which received it. I think he did say that on one programme in recent days. He has nothing to hide. The second thing is this, that he had nothing to do with the allocations. He was simply given the list of people who had been successful. So he did not have any decision at all on how
he's the minister presiding over it. We're back to ministerial responsibility.
Yes, but you know the allegation is that somehow or other he was in charge of a discriminatory scheme. He couldn't have been discriminatory. But
I haven't
anyway,
made that allegation. I'm just asking why we can't see the split.
Well, I've told you he is going to publish the names. I think he indicated. Well, I don't know when he's going to publish the names, but he's indicated that he's prepared to do that. And the third thing is this: don't forget the community hall scheme was designed for rural areas. Now, in rural areas, the most prominent providers of community halls are the Orange Order. And indeed, many of those halls are in disrepair because hundreds of them have been attacked by Republicans over the last number of years and therefore were in need of the capital money which was required to refurbish them.
So what about GAA halls?
When it comes to GAA, I've just told you that when the previous minister was there, GAA were very generously funded.
Okay.
Five times more
Conor Murphy.
To EA clubs than to football clubs. £1.5 million to two clubs alone was allocated by the previous minister. But, you know, the majority of community halls in rural areas will tend to be orange halls. They are used for all kinds of community purposes, of course, and they tend to be in the worst possible condition because hundreds have been attacked
okay.
and partially destroyed.
Conor Murphy?
Well, I mean, the majority of halls in rural areas are not just orange halls. They come from a range of issues and a range of organisations, including the GAA. And I know I have been contacted by people who are concerned because they made what they consider to be very good applications to the scheme. And in one case, certainly a GAA club received a letter from the department saying that the association wasn't eligible for this scheme. Now, I know that the recipients were listed in some newspapers yesterday, and there were, in fact, two GAA clubs right across the entire six counties that did receive some money. But clearly, there is a feeling of a skewing of the money in this scheme through the increase in it as well towards orange halls. And I think clearly that needs to be examined. And I think the promise to publish the list matches the promise of Simon Hamilton to publish the list of the RHI recipients, which now he's not done. So let's see the department put this out and let them then defend that. And if it is defensible, it's defensible. But as it stands at the moment, certainly from the people who've been contacting me over the weekend who made applications, they very firmly believe that this fund was used
okay.
by the minister to look after his own community.
So there you are, Stephen. Both you and I have learned something from Conor Murphy this morning. Apparently the list has been already been published. I wasn't aware of it.
But media, not by the department. And
as names of the
RHI recipients drip-fed into the media, where Simon Hamilton promised he was going to print the names and now has declined to do so.
Well, I mean, the list of names then is available publicly, and people can see where the money went to. But, you know, as I say, the scheme was designed and approved for publication. People were free. Everybody was free to apply. There was no restrictions on who could apply, but a lot of community halls, which are in poor state of repair in rural areas, tend to be orange halls. And don't forget, many of them as a result of attacks by Republicans.
Yeah, and many GAA
right.
clubs have been burned. And
the one
club that showed me its correspondence stated clearly from the department that the association as a whole was not eligible to apply.
All right, let's get more calls on. Here's Jim next. Morning,
right,
Jim.
Stephen, I do have to go
all
on.
All right, Conor. Thank you very much, Conor. Thank you. Sammy, can you stay on for a couple of minutes?
I'll stay on for a couple of minutes, Stephen, yes. I always enjoy being on your programme, but I'm not going to stay on indefinitely. You know.
I'm glad to hear it. Thank you for staying with us. Jim, morning to you.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Jim.
No, I'll tell you why I'm ringing in here, Stephen. It seems there at all a bit orange and green there this morning, but I'm not going to go down that road. But what I'm going to say to you, Stephen, is I have a wife, and she's took multiple sclerosis about 18 years ago. And now, thank the Lord, she still can get about a bit, but she needs a brand new knee, and she falls a lot, and she needs the help of me or a stick all the time. But what I'm trying to say to you, Stephen, is this morning here, waiting 2 years on a new knee is not good enough. And I'm very concerned that people have to wait 2 years.
And meanwhile, of course, the proposal that was due, it was actually due
this
month. It was this week as to what we were going to do. There was going to be a longer-term plan built by the executive to tackle waiting lists. And
that
now is not going to happen. And who do you blame for
that? I don't like saying, but I think Michelle and Neil should keep the government or get the government going instead of pulling it down.
Jim, thank you.
We need stability in the country.
Could
I just say, Stephen, and you know, I think that's probably the attitude of many people about the closure of the executive and the assembly, that vital things will not be dealt with. And indeed, the situation will be worse than that, because not only will we not have a plan for dealing with waiting lists, we'll have less money for dealing with waiting lists, because the £200 million that would have been allocated to the health in the department, the budget for this year, will not be available. And the Department of Health's budget will be cut by 10% if we have to have an emergency budget, because Martin O'Muir has not brought forward a budget. He's rather preferred...
And does the DP bear any responsibility for this, Sammy?
Well, All I can say is we have sought, I mean, if we have to fight an election, we'll fight an election, and we'll do it robustly. But we have done our best to avoid this kind of crisis and the moving into a crisis where the Assembly would have to fall. And indeed,
Sinn Féin warned you that they expected Arlene Foster to step aside, or they warned you that they wouldn't continue.
Yes, but I'll tell you one thing we're not going to do. We're not going to keep the Assembly in place at the expense of Sinn Féin telling us what we can do and what we can't do, who our leader can be and who our leader can't be. If they think we're so keen to keep the Assembly going that we're going to let them push us around, that's not going to happen.
And in terms of that caller, there was, if my memory serves me right, I was asking why the Health Minister didn't ask for any money during the last monitoring round. We're going back a few months here. And the answer that came back to me was there was no money because all of the departments had spent their money. There was no extra money to go into the central pool for the monitoring round, right? And we're back into September, October-ish of last year. But you've just told me that Paul Given, he found another £1.4 million extra pounds for these community halls.
Yes, and as far as I know...
So there was extra money.
He put it into
community halls.
As far as I know, Martin O'Muller actually did allocate money to other departments. It's the monitoring round has changed as it used to be. In fact, it doesn't go to the executive for approval. Departments make bids, etc. And there was money which went to other departments. Michelle O'Neill didn't make any bid for it. So, in the absence of money being asked for, then the money would have gone elsewhere.
Sam McBride's listening to this, obviously from the newsletter. What do you make of all this, Sam? Sam McBride's not there now. John, morning, John.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, John.
Morning, Stephen. I just think the... Hello, Stephen.
Go ahead, John. Yes, go ahead, John.
I think the RHI excuse from Sinn Féin is a total red herring. And an example is this morning. We've had extended programmes from yourself and talkback over the last number of weeks, and the RHI lasted for 30 minutes this morning. So it's diminishing every day. But I think the real reason is there's three. The health of the Deputy First Minister, the incompetence of a Sinn Féin finance minister to produce any budget whatsoever, but he likes to appear in every talk show or television show and talk about anything other than the budget. And a health minister who likes to come on the television, talks like a spin dryer, but produces absolutely nothing but increased waiting lists. And as that gentleman previously said, people waiting for 2 years. And what has she done? Absolutely nothing. And
the health minister would say that she has a report ready to be published. Indeed, I believe that she may indeed still publish it at the end of the month, but she can't do it without the money. And if the executive isn't up and going, then that new budgetary agreement is not going to be made.
There is a budgetary agreement, Stephen. That's the whole point. Martin O'Muller has been flouncing around TV studios, running around making threats about bringing the executive down, and in the meantime has not produced a budget. So it's not that there's a budgetary agreement. Or
these are your partners in government until a few weeks ago.
Well, since Sinn Féin are quite happy to make allegations about incompetence by Arlene Foster, this is a far, far bigger example of incompetence, where a finance minister who knows he should be producing a budget well before Christmas has still not produced anything to the executive for approval. And as a result, and if the assembly falls, then there won't be even any guidance for the civil service as to what kind of money they might have expected. Will mean that all of the money can't be allocated, only 90% can be allocated, and departments have to start planning on that basis.
So you're saying not publishing a budget is a bigger incompetence than being a minister presiding over a scheme which had no cost controls in place whatsoever?
Well, yes.
And which led to a projected spend of half a billion pounds
overspent. Well, not publishing a budget and not having a budget available for next year means that government departments in Northern Ireland will be £1,200 million have £1,200 million less to spend. That peels into the RHI £20 million a year peels into insignificance against
Stay there, because Claire Hannan's with us now from the SDLP. You're calling for the Speaker, Robin Newton, to resign. Claire, Sammy Wilson's party colleague, of course, DUP's Robin Newton. His Speaker role is a neutral role. Claire, tell us why you want him to resign.
Well, just for the record, that's a Sinn Féin motion that's being debated today. That wasn't our
pick. You support it.
We will be voting, and I think it's quite clear that the Speaker doesn't have the confidence of the Assembly. The Speaker's job is to represent the interests of all MLAs and indeed the public interest. And I think what we saw on the 19th of December, as well as being an absolute car crash in terms of how the business was conducted that day, was the Speaker acting in the interests of his party and not in the interests of wider transparency. And I suppose that's come on the back of issues around his links to Charter NI, and again, thwarting legitimate questions going forward to the Assembly on Charter NI. It is worth saying, Stephen, and
the Speaker would say he acted in the interests of all in the Assembly, and that he took officials' advice. That's what Robin Newton would
say. We've asked for that advice to be published, and as recently as last night, the Speaker has said that advice won't be published.
I believe Sam McBride from the newsletter can elaborate on this. You actually put in an FOI request about what advice the Speaker was given, Sam. Is that right?
Good morning, Stephen. It is. I put in this request probably 2-3 months ago after the initial story, but the question which Nicola Mallon had put in about Charter NI, which Robin Newton had rejected, and then subsequently, obviously, it came out that he had all sorts of links to your Charter NI, and he basically apologised to the Assembly, said he should not have taken that decision, but he insisted that he had done so on foot of his advice from his team at the Assembly. I wanted to see what this advice was, see some other documentation, and just Friday they came back to tell me that he had personally decided that we would not be getting this, that it would not be in the public interest for this to be released. So
Robin Newton had decided himself that information about him wouldn't be in the public interest to be released. He made the decision himself, did he?
Certainly, it's information which is very significant, has a very significant personal impact on him. It was the advice on which really his defence of his handling of this whole situation hangs. He also told the Assembly, of course, towards the end of last year, once this issue emerged publicly, that he would recuse himself from future Assembly business which impacted on this. This is not Assembly business in the traditional sense in the chamber, but it's clearly something which has a very personal impact on him.
Does that Sammy Wilson feel right to you, that he's deciding information that might impact on him, he's deciding it's not in the public interest for the public to hear it?
Well, I think it probably ultimately he has got responsibility for what's released and what's not released. But I'll tell you what I do find totally unusual in all of this, that every time opposition parties have a disagreement with a DUP minister or speaker, whatever, the default position is he ought to resign. I mean, I've seen, they want to grow up and have a bit of maturity. I have seen the most horrendous allegations made about speakers and ministers in the House of Commons at Westminster, where I now sit. There's not these continual calls for them to resign. They get it in the neck in the chamber. They get hard questions. They're required to fix the situation. And, you know, I think it's a sign of the immaturity of some of the people in our Assembly, that their only remedy for any situation where they find themselves at loggerheads with someone else is to call for them to resign.
Claire Hammond?
Well, I think that part of the point is we were told for weeks and weeks before Christmas that today we would be debating the terms of the public inquiry, which, despite the executive parties throwing all sorts of distractions your way, you'll note that we're not talking about the fact that neither of them want a public inquiry to go forward. But I think the Speaker, and it does almost feel like worse than rearranging the deck chairs in the Titanic, if removing somebody from their job and the whole thing is apparently going to come down by the end of the day. But clearly, the Speaker has lost the confidence, and really what happened on the 19th of December did go against the fundamental joint nature of power sharing. But I think we would prefer to be talking about the terms of reference around the public inquiry, because that's what we were told for weeks that we were getting, as well as some of the cost recovery mechanisms that are being put in front of us today, and whether we can find out if they are just something to give the DUP an answer on the doorsteps, or will they actually put some money back into the public purse to pay for the type of things that your caller, Jim, introduced.
Sammy, in terms of your interpretation of the renewable heating scheme, I want to just let people hear what you told John Humphrey on Radio 4.
I mean, this is an outrageously incompetent piece of legislation. I mean, the idea that the more you burn, the more money you make. So you leave your windows open to burn extra fuel. I mean, it's daft, isn't it?
John, can I just point out to you that if you examine the scheme in England, you would probably find that there are some very well-heeled people in the south of England who also access the scheme and are using boilers. And are using the exact same boilers to heat their outdoor swimming pools.
But it doesn't make it right, is the point.
No, I mean, the scheme was badly devised. It was, but it's as badly devised in England as it is in Northern Ireland.
I mean, why did you tell a national audience the scheme was as badly devised in England as it was in Ireland? Because the scheme in England had caps, had tiering, had cost controls built in. You know that. Why did you publicly say that?
Well, for the simple reason, are you honestly saying to me, Stephen, that it is a good use of public money at a time when we have all the shortages in the health service, etc., to give well-heeled people, and this was an MEP who was making this allegation, by the way, not myself, well-heeled people in Berkshire and other parts of the stockbroker belt in England subsidies of up to £30,000 to heat their swimming pool. Do you think that's a well-devised scheme?
The context of the question from John Humphreys was they overspend in Northern Ireland. Publicly stated that the English scheme was as badly devised as the Northern Irish scheme. That was an English scheme with cost controls that did not run to £500 million overspend with a tiering system.
Since you're keen on people answering questions when you ask them, you tell me, do you think it is a good use of taxpayers' money at a time when the public purse is under pressure to pay people up to £30,000 a year to put in a boiler to heat their swimming pool, especially when those people are in the top income groups in society? Is that a good use of a scheme?
You were comparing the English scheme to the Northern Irish scheme.
You see,
I'm not getting distracted. You were comparing the Northern Irish scheme to the English scheme.
Do you not agree that is a badly devised scheme where there is no control on the kinds of way in which the heating scheme can be used?
This is a scheme.
When it's subsidised by taxpayers.
Can I remind you?
That is as bad. I'll tell you, Stephen, to me that is as bad as paying somebody to heat an empty barn.
Well, so can I remind you that this was a scheme that the leader of your party, when she was the then minister, stood over, promoted, encouraged people to join up to? This scheme you're calling badly devised was in Arlene Foster's scheme, a very good scheme. She encouraged banks to lend money towards it.
So when you castigate
this scheme and lambast this scheme, I will remind you that the leader of this country, the former First Minister, told people to get into it.
And Arlene Foster has already apologised for the fact that the scheme was not a good scheme. She's already apologised, which means it accepted that. But don't forget, this was a scheme which came as a result of a European directive, then a directive from a scheme which was a national scheme from the government of Westminster to promote renewable energy. I have always maintained, and I've had this debate with you on a number of occasions, Stephen, when you move away from producing energy from the cheapest possible source, i.e. coal, oil and gas, and start using more expensive forms of materials to generate heat and give subsidies, then you're always going to have anomalies, you're always going to have waste of taxpayers' money, and you're always going to incur higher costs.
I'll say this about you, Sammy.
I notice that you haven't answered the question. Do you think that it is a good scheme that gives rich people £30,000 a year to heat their swimming pool.
What part of this are you not getting? Your party, you're the former First Minister, Arlene Foster, promoted the scheme, encouraged banks to lend towards it, encouraged people to buy into it. This scheme was set up under Arlene Foster's watch. She was the minister. She was the minister. Then Jonathan Bell was the minister presiding over the overspend. What's the commonality? DUP.
Let's not forget where this discussion started. You asked, how could I justify saying the scheme in England was badly devised? I have told you that a scheme which pays rich people taxpayer subsidies to heat their swimming pool is not a good scheme. It's a badly devised scheme. I have challenged you to tell me whether you think that's a badly devised scheme or not, and you've singularly avoided the question because it really doesn't suit you.
I don't answer questions. I ask them, Mr. Wilson,
You don't answer questions when you're being put on a hook. That's your problem. You're very good at applying that kind of condition to other people. But, you know, if you're going to be an interviewer and if you're going to make the kind of comments you're going to make, then expect it to come the other way around. You seem to be the one who dodged the issue this morning. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your advice, Mr. Wilson. I will remind you, when you say I'm on the hook, it was your party that encouraged people to join up to this scheme. It was Arlene Foster, the minister, who was in charge of the scheme when it was devised. And it was Jonathan Bell, the minister, DUP minister, when the spike happened in the scheme.